Welcome back to your Daily Dose. It's me, Nick. When you get to that afternoon lull and your battery is drained, you need a little pick-me-up. What do you do? Seriously, what do you do? Because the stuff I'm trying is not working. Especially napping. I am failing at napping. I need your help. I am so tired. I'm so very tired. Enjoy.
All right, I talked about everything except for colonoscopies on my side, my friend.
Colonoscopies.
Napping experience. You've been napping? Yeah, you napping?
I've been trying to. So I've been going to the gym more, so I'm like more tired.
Yeah, you are going to the gym more. Good for you.
Thank you. And I'm more tired and I get, you know, the afternoon lull. I think we all experience that. Mm-hmm. And then so, but just lay down. Like, hey, Google, set an alarm for 20 minutes, half an hour, 45 minutes. I'm trying out different time periods. And then I'm sleeping right through it. And it's like 2 hours. I essentially, like, this is around 4:30, 5 o'clock. So I'm sleeping through dinner.
Oh. That's
it's
hard.
Not great.
It's hard, too, because once you get in, like, over an hour, too, your body's like, I need to go for the full REM cycle here, my friend. And that's hard.
What are
that's
you even doing? And so, yeah, so I don't know, like, if there's a relaxing chair, maybe, that I can, that will, like, eject me out of it after a certain amount of time. Or I should just, you know, maybe it's a, like, I don't necessarily want to do an afternoon coffee because coffee is a little acidic, but
do that. Yeah.
Maybe it's just an energy drink. Like, just try not to sleep in
maybe
the afternoon.
You should do a little Qigong, energy breathing.
Okay.
You know, this is how I start every Tai Chi lesson, and it's relaxing.
Yeah.
It's not sleep, but it's energizing and it's relaxing, and it's just literally moving your body. Inhale and exhale. Hands going up and down.
Oh,
and there's
okay.
one that goes cloudy, hands across the front of your body. And all of it is just coordinating your breathing with your body. And after 20 minutes of that, you feel pretty energized.
Okay.
It's just a thought. You know, it's just
yeah,
a,
I'm going to look
I feel
it
like,
up.
Yeah, I feel like instead of, I'll send you some stuff on that. I feel like instead of actually sleeping, just calming your energy and focusing your breath and getting that chi going in the right direction.
Well, and the idea of doing more caffeine, because I already do caffeine in the morning, it doesn't appeal to me all that much because I feel, again, I think part of it is I am always concerned that I have an addictive nature and that I will get addicted even more so. But I think part of it is like it's just a response that I'm getting older and just over caffeinating is just in general not going to be good for me.
Yeah, it's just layers on top of layers.
Yeah.
So I'm curious though, what makes you think that you have an addictive nature?
That's a good question.
I mean, I understand that you probably have certain things that you want to do more and more of.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when you encounter them, I believe I have an addictive nature, and part of that, my evidence is the effect of food on my body.
Yeah.
Sometimes the consumption of marijuana, sometimes the consumption of alcohol. It's like, you know, I get to a point where I'm like, I need to slow that down and stop that. I have to consciously manage it because I have seen evidence that I when I love it, I'm going to do more of it. That's why I've never done cocaine.
You just keep going. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think part of it is family experience. Seeing a certain level of addiction with other different members of my family. I think part of it is pop culture. You know, we had so many after school specials, and then every television show had a very special episode that was about something to do with a friend who was secretly Tom Hanks on Family Ties, right? Do you remember that?
Tom, yeah, I do
remember
now.
He was the alcoholic?
He was the really super gregarious cousin
Yeah.
or something. And yes, I do remember that.
Yeah.
That's when it got serious.
That,
yeah.
There was this very visceral experience that I had at my aunt's wedding. I was 16 and she was marrying a guy who is American and he converted to Greek Orthodox so they could have a Greek Orthodox wedding because she really wanted to have a Greek Orthodox wedding. They asked me to be the best man because she and I were close. And because traditionally you need a Greek person to fulfill that role.
Wow.
And while he had six brothers, like technically they couldn't, they would have to convert as well. Not all six of them, but whichever one he picked.
This is serious tradition.
So they asked me to do it, and then I was like, okay, I'm 16. I'm gonna have screwdrivers at this wedding.
Ooh, that's a hard start.
And it was super gross, but I almost felt like I was drunk for a couple of days. So the wedding was on Saturday. We flew back Sunday. I went to school Monday. And I remember I was carpooling with somebody, and I still felt a little, not drunk, but woozy, like yeah, high like, yeah. off of the old, you know, I had this great experience and I had fun and I was the best man. And, you know, I danced with girls and it was great. And so I can't remember who it was in my car, but I remember them saying, I told them about it, and, you know, I was still acting very gregarious, and she was like, you should drink all the time. You're so much funnier like this. And I was like, oh, no.
Wow.
So, you know, being full of righteous indignation at 16, like, oh, just nope. Never drinking again. I think that was part of it, too.
Wow.
So I think that was the concern as well, is that I would just do it that way.
That's interesting. So you had a taste of it before you rejected it.
Yeah.
And then you came on home to it.
Yep. And I was like, oh, no, if I'm not funny naturally, then forget that. I will never be funny. And
you,
I don't know.
You want the alcohol to get the credit for your sense of humor.
I know, right?
Although alcohol is a magnifier. Sure. I found that, right? So if you're gregarious, it'll make you more gregarious. Yeah. If you're depressed, it'll make you more depressed.
Ooh, yeah.
So it's like, you know, whatever you're going through, just expect that times two or three or five, depending Seven. On what you yep. Brown liquor. 10.
10.
You know, that's a whole different
tequila,
thing.
Tequila, 72.
Oh, just can't. Do you like tequila? Do you drink that?
Not really.
Oh, I never liked the taste of it, but I force-fed myself 750 milliliters of Two Fingers, I think was the name of that. Yeah. Because that's what you're supposed to drink, just Two Fingers.
Yeah.
I drank like 10, 12 fingers, and I got so sick, just so sick. And so, yeah, there are certain alcohols that I just won't touch at all. Tequila gave me a chronic condition one of my friends called the never-nevers. That's because after throwing up an entire bottle of tequila and suffering a 24-hour hangover, I knew I was never, never going to drink that stuff again. One and done. It's not a model I would recommend, but it has kept me tequila-free since 1983. That does it for this episode, dear listener. Come on back tomorrow for another one.